Support for this public radio podcast comes from Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by Prosper.com, America's marketplace for people-to-people loans. Prosper.com, where you can compete to bid on loans to fellow Americans.
Will the Fed's plan work?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. The Federal Reserve tried to calm jittery credit markets yesterday. They're still jittery. The Fed and three European central banks pledged discounted loans to troubled financial firms. Now, stock markets initially applauded the move. Maybe this will help with the credit crunch. By the end of the day, they were less convinced. Today in Lisbon, Portugal, European leaders are signing a new treaty creating a precedent for the EU, but the buzz is about that plan from the central banks. That's because Europe is facing its own economic challenges, as Megan Williams reports.
With today's signing, no longer will single EU countries be able to veto most policy decisions. The union will also get a long-term president and a foreign affairs head who will control a massive budget. But for EU leaders, the pressing issue of the day remains the economy and how to weather the subprime crisis. That's why they've lauded a plan by five central banks to lend about $110 billion to world moneylenders. British Prime Minister Gordon Brown welcomed what he called new cooperation among the Federal Reserve, the Bank of England, the European Central Bank, and the central banks of Canada and Switzerland. For Europe, which is facing rising inflation and low consumer confidence, the move is seen as a much-needed stopgap, but not the final solution. I'm Megan Williams for Marketplace.
After the Fed announced its fix for the credit crunch, the Dow jumped more than 250 points. At the end of the day, though, a gain of just 41 to 13,473. The S&P added 8, the NASDAQ rose 18. Now, that evaporation of confidence helped to send Asian markets lower overnight. Japan and Hong Kong were each down more than 2.5%. This morning, European markets are also taking it on the chin. Some people thought it would never happen. But 5 months and $5 billion later, Rupert Murdoch's News Corp is set to take control of the Wall Street Journal. The company's board votes on that purchase today. Marketplace's Lisa Napoli looks at what's in store.
Rupert Murdoch's official arrival at the Journal is already being felt at rival media companies.
There are a lot of players here who are ready for a lot of competition.
That's media blogger Jeff Jarvis. He says consider that the New York Times has poached one of the Journal's star political reporters. Arch-rival CNBC was spared recent layoffs by parent company NBC, so it could stay competitive against Murdoch's Fox Business Channel. On Wednesday, CNBC also announced a distribution deal with Yahoo to give it more exposure online. Jarvis says Murdoch's Journal purchase could shake up the entire news business.
The Wall Street Journal is a national paper, but it's a national financial paper. The more the Wall Street Journal becomes a national newspaper, the more it can grow, both in audience and also in a broader advertising base.
And that's something the Journal has needed. In Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli for Marketplace.
The town of Bethlehem is getting special attention this year. That would be the one in Pennsylvania, home to the company that helped to build hundreds of U.S. warships, the Golden Gate Bridge, and the New York City skyline. Bethlehem Steel. For years, history buffs have wanted to explore those rusty ruins of the company's massive steel mill. Now they could have a chance, thanks to an $800 million casino going up on the site. The complex is being built by Las Vegas Sands. 20 buildings have been saved from the wrecking ball. The casino is expected to draw 5 million gamblers a year.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Introducing ThriveQ, an online tool that helps you know where you stand on your path to retirement. More at ThriveQ.com. And by BNY Mellon Wealth Management. Since 1784, helping successful individuals and families protect and maximize wealth. BNYMellonWealthManagement.com. Conversations from the Corner Office, Dialogues with Top CEOs, is supported by Society for Human Resource Management. Online at shrm.org.
Have you spent much time at the shopping mall this holiday season? Seems fewer people have. Last week, mall traffic nationwide was down 22% from the week before. So malls are far from becoming a home away from home for shoppers. But living at the mall could become a new trend. Joelle Ryan has more from just outside Los Angeles.
It's a weekday afternoon in the Glendale Galleria, a king-size mall that has stood in the shadow of Los Angeles for 31 years. In here, under the lights, it's big business as usual. But step outside into the sun, and right across the street, it's big business, a bit unusual. The concrete skeleton of Americana at Brand looms above the Galleria. When this complex is completed next spring, it'll boast upscale shops, luxury condos, an 18-screen multiplex, and don't forget the 2-acre park. You could call Americana a rival mall, but you'd be wrong. It's a rival lifestyle center. Dolores Conway, a real estate expert at the University of Southern California, explains.
A lifestyle center is characterized as a place, almost like a community, where people can live, work, and play. It's actually a destination as opposed to, say, just a shopping center.
Glendale Mayor Arne Najarian, for one, is betting that his city can accommodate the new and the old, side by side, J. Crew to JCPenney.
There will be a synergy between the two complexes. Very different. Each one will provide a unique shopping experience.
In Bridgewater, New Jersey, General Growth Properties, owner of the Glendale Galleria, built a lifestyle center right next to one of its malls. The company built it as an addition, not a competitor. Back in Glendale, Alan Magdepe walks between the Galleria and the up-and-coming Americana. This 17-year-old doesn't see conflict. He sees a variety of shopping options, some of them tasty.
Because, like, they offer, like, a new variety of open merchandises. Like Pinkberry. Like, Pinkberry's in the new mall, and the Pinkberry's not in the old mall.
In the end, Magdepe thinks he'll spend time and money at both places. And that's a sentiment retailers like to hear, no matter what the season. In Los Angeles, this is Joelle Ryan for Marketplace.
And I'm Doug Krisner. Thanks for listening. Make it a good day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.